case. So the Gemara says with Avav on the bottom of the Avav by Lechus Dilma. So the Gemara is going to ask that the Brisa said yesterday that if you have a field that has a marking, if in that field there are trees, then you know that the field was plowed, and you don't have to be choshesh for tumas oel. May have to choshesh for beis abras, but you don't have to be choshesh for tumas oel, because if there are trees, clearly the field was plowed. If it was plowed, it's chopped up the whatever was there. So the Gemara says, wait a second. So the trees are the whole indication. V'leichosh dilma ilanos migavai v'kever mibarai. Let's be choshesh. Then maybe what you did was you planted the trees in the inner part of the field, and the kever that was lost, right? You had this. It was a field that we knew there was a kever, and then it was lost. So you had this field that the kever that was lost on the outer part, and they only plowed around where the trees are, and they never plowed on the outside of the field. And maybe that's where the kever that we don't know where is. And if you walk on the outside of the field, you have a problem of potential tumas oel. So the Gemara says, no, the Amr Ula, like Ula said, be owned the Malgvulin, Achanami be owned the Malgvulin. Ula says something to answer a different question than the Darim. They're talking about where the trees are placed on the outer edges of the field. So too, they're standing on the outer edges of the field. So therefore, you know, on the outside it was plowed. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, so then maybe the trees are only planted on the outer edge of the field, and that's where you plowed. What about the inner part of the field? The dilma tuma migavai, the ilos mibarai. Maybe the tuma is on the inside, and the trees are on the outside, and they only plowed around the trees on the outside. They didn't plow on the inside, and that's where the lost grave is, and that's where you'll be problem of oel. The Gemara says, no, b'misuvachin. We'll change the answer. The answer is not with the trees on the outside, on the inside. The trees are spread sporadically throughout the field. So you had to plow everywhere, because you plowed for the trees. Therefore, you know for sure that there's no grave, and we don't have a problem of ol. The ebais ema, or you can say as this: the reason why we're not even talking about where the trees are spread out all over the place. Even if the trees are just standing are planted on the outer edges of the field, you still don't have a problem with tumas ol. You might have, again, you may have a basa, you may have a tumas. You have to just blow as you're going through. But hada amaran, as we said earlier on in the brisa, ein marchikin tziyun mimakom hatuma shelo lahavsi this eretz Yisrael. No one puts the marker too far away, because then you're going to limit the amount of place that people can walk. So now, since this marking is near the trees, I guess that's where the tuma had to be. So I don't know why you have to have trees to begin with. Just have to look at the marking. But okay, so that's potentially the answer. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Right, now the Gemara continues. The Braisa said that if you found a field, this was talking about a field that was marked, right? So if you found a field that was marked and you don't know what it is, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's tameh ad sheyesham zaken utalmid, until you have a chacham or a talmud chacham who knows what the reason was. You can't just make any assumptions. You have to know. Someone has to know. But a stam person is not believed to tell you what the reason why. I don't know what the difference is between a talmud chacham and a stam person. Okay, so lefisha ain't a kol b'kim adavar, because not everybody's an expert to know what the markings were for. Amar Abaye says, Shema mina, you learn from the words of Rabbi Yehuda, Tzubar me rabbanon de ikba masa, if you have a talmud chacham who's living in the city, he just can't sit in his ivory tower. He has to get involved in what's going on. Kol mili de masa ale rami. All the inyanim of the city are dependent upon him. They're thrown upon his shoulders, and even learning or trying to determine what the markings around the graves for the graves mean, because he's a bakin halachas. A bakin halachas has to get involved in what's going on in the town. He can't just sit in his ivory tower and study. He has to be involved. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda. We have more about the markings. Then we're going to switch on to some kelayim. Then we're going to switch on to some gardening. Then we're going to switch on to hunting bulls. Just had a little leibutz. So it's organized. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Matza Eben Mitzuyenis. So you were in a field and you find a stone that has the line marking on it that marks for a grave. So you assume Tachteo Tame, directly underneath the stone, or I guess it's round there because you're supposed to make the marking a little distant away. Oh no, the stone we say can be right there. Directly under the stone is going to be Tame. If you find two stones, okay, so now you have two stones. So the question is whether you have burial under the stones, or maybe the two stones are the end markers for a tumor that's running in between the stones. So, shtayim, if you find two, Im yesh sid b'nehem, if there's marking between the two stones, going across the two stones, b'nehem tameh, then what's in between the ground in between the stones is also to the tameh. They made those markings on the ground to indicate that the tumah runs between these two stones. The im ein sid b'nehem, but if you don't have sid between them, then we can assume that maybe that the it's just two separate places where there's tumah on the stone A, on the stone B, but in between them should be fine. Okay, the Gemara asks. The afal gav de leka chorish, and we're going to, right, Rabbi Yehuda just said that if there's no line between them, it's going to be tahor. That's the case even if there's no indication of plowing between the two stones. The afal gav de leka chorish, can't be, vatanya, with the following brisa. Vatsa evan echad achas mitsuyenes, you find one stone that is marked, so that's easy. That's easy case, tachta atame. Then underneath it is tame. However, shtayim, if you found two stones, that are marked, im yesh chorish b'neiem, if there's plowing, indications of plowing, I'm not sure if it means that there is an indication of plowing between them, or there's space for plowing, that's an indication. If there's an indication of plowing between them, then b'neiem tahor. That's when they're tahor. Then that's b'neiem tahor. The im lav, and if there is no indication of plowing between them, then b'neiem is tameh, even if there's no line, even if there's no marking. We just said before, if there's no marking, good to go. He was saying, no marking doesn't make it good to go. You have to know that there was no plowing done in between them. That makes it good to go. So what's the story? The Gemara answers, Amar Papa. The Papa seems to be very involved in the marking. So he answers a lot of the questions that we had yesterday and today. Right? Our famous Papa. Amar Papa. Hacho, here what's going on is Keshe Hasid Shafuch Al Roshayim Shel Al Roshayim Umiruda Lekana Lekan. So it's, I think it means the lime is spread on the stone and sort of like splatters a little bit to the side. Right? Splatters a little bit to the side. So e'ika choris b'neiem, if there's indications of marking, of plowing between them, so then b'neiem tahor, we'll say between them is tahor, the emor will say machmas choris d'iklaf, it's because of the vibrations, like if it's got the plowing, the line fell off of the stone and splattered a little bit on the side. The elo, and if there is no indication of plowing between them, so sid ben b'neiem, and the reason why there is lime on either side of the stone is because a person poured lime beyond, extending beyond the stones to indicate that there's tumah beneath, in between the two stones. Right, it's the sid that goes between them, and therefore in between them will be tameh. Amar Rav Asi, I don't have a lot to add. Rashi said, following case, I have a field. I guess the fields are pretty marked. There's four borders on the field. So you have this field. Meitzar echad mitsuyan. So I have one side of the field, right? The right side of the field is indicated with the signage, which is, I guess is usually lime, right? Who underneath that area is tameh? The kolos sadekula tahora, and the whole rest of the field is considered tahor. Shnayim, if you have markings on two sides of the field, Haim Tameim, I guess the area underneath where you mark is Tameh. The Kolasada Kula Tahora, and the rest of the field is considered Tahor. Similarly, three, Shlosha, if you have markings on three sides of the field. So Haim, under those the areas that are marked, are Tameim. The Kolasada Kula Tahora, but the entire field, the remainder of the field, is Tahor. Now, Arba'a, that's that you've marked all four sides. So we say that is an indication that the field is Tameh. Hein tahorin, so it's under the marking is tahor. The chol asadeh kula tameya, the whole field then becomes tameh. Those are markings for tameya, and the Gemara explains why. I guess how do we know that? Why did he just mark the corners and not mark, I guess, underneath the whole field? I don't know. He says the Amar Mar ein marchikin tzir mimakom tuma shel lahasi this Eretz Yisrael. We don't distance the marking too far away in order to cause problems for the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So I'm not sure what that makes an indication here. Does he say anything?
Wasting space.
Right. But he's still marking off the whole field now.
No, because I imagine because in Eretz Yisrael you don't want to lose more land than we can possibly use.
Correct.
Right. They minimize the marking as much as possible.
Right, but the marking here is, even though it's a minimal marking, it indicates the entire field.
No, correct. Maybe whatever they marked, they couldn't use. Correct. I mean, you could have used the space. You could. It's just tummy, right?
I don't know.
So if you mark the whole thing, then if you walk on it, there's no more markings.
I'm thinking, going back to the whole field, they would minimize the markings of that field as much as possible.
I think
not to take away usable space from Eretz Yisrael.
Right, I guess maybe also like if you don't mark the whole four sides and you start marking the entire field, you may overmark or undermark or something like that.
Okay. That's what I'm afraid of.
Okay.
What does it mean when three sides are marked?
I just imagine like you know when the edges, the borders.
So what part? Nothing is
underneath
just
it.
Just underneath.
That's what he says. Yeah, just underneath it. That's what it sounds like. It's a perfect square type or rectangle.
We're assuming.
That's what I'm assuming also. Yeah, when you fly over, when you fly and you see those fields in the middle of the flyover states.
Exactly.
The flyover states that are going to save.
You know,
those states are going to save America, right?
The racist
look.
Or the white
supremacist look. Yeah, all those places. Okay. Then the next part of the Mishnah is that we say that in Chol HaMoed, the Shluchei Beis Din can go and check for the Kilayim, and uproot the Kilayim in the field. So the Gemara says, V'Kilayim B'Chol HaMoed Nafkinan, that's when they go out to uproot the Kilayim. V'Riminu, we'll ask you from first Mishnah in Shkolim. Which here, it's not exactly this first Mishnah, but similar. It says there in the first Mishnah, Be'echad ba'adar, on the first Rosh Chodesh Adar, the Beis Din would be mashmian, they would announce, ala shkalim, that everyone should bring the shkalim, the ala kilayim, there's a problem right away. They talked about kilayim, starting in Rosh Chodesh Adar, which is way a month and a half before Chol HaMoed Pesach, the ala kilayim, u'bachamisha sarbo, and on the 15th day of Adar, Koranis Megillah Bekrachim. They would read the Megillah on the 15th in the walled cities. While they talk about the 14th about the unwalled cities, which is more normal, more popular. Martosa says because there's more going on the 15th, so we're just adding another thing that's going on the 15th. Right, but Chamishi Avar Koranis Megillah Bekrachim. The Yotzim the Kavetsis Adrachim, and they go to remove the thorns on the roads. You got to get ready for everyone making Aliyah Regel. Ulisakin Arachovos and to fix the streets, all the public works. V'lamod mikvos, and to measure the mikvos to make sure they have arbaim saw, right? V'osin kol tzarchei rabim, and they do all the tzarchei rabim, v'mitzayin kvaros, and they go out and they put the signage onto the kvaros, v'yotzin al kilayim, and then they go out on the kilayim. So they announce the kilayim on the 1st, and they go out on the 15th. Rashi just asks, why the Gemara only asking a steerer about the kilayim, between our Mishnah, which says Chol HaMoed, and the Mishnah of Shkolim, which says 15th of Adar. He says, "V'ha'al lo parich nami Gemara, Hashar mas nisin." The rest of the Mishnah also. They tell you, "Masakim et rachim rechovos b'chol shemoled." Our Mishnah said that they fixed the roads on Chol HaMoed. V'ha'cha tana tesva v'adar. He says that's not an answer. That's not a question because the stuff could break in between. The bedinu the masakim l'treis manim. They do it twice, right? The chimetakim et tesva v'adar asu gishamim akalkli lul l'harjim akalkli b'chol HaMoed. They do the first coat of paint on the 15th of Adar, and then they make sure they do it again on Chol HaMoed. But the question is, by the Kalayim, once you uproot the Kalayim, why do you have to uproot the Kalayim again? You already did this on the 15th of Adar, why are you doing it now on Chol HaMoed? So Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yossi, Bar Chanina, they say, each give an answer, they're two different Kalayim. Some produce grows earlier than others. That's answer number one. Chad Amar Kan Mivachir, the Mishnah Shkalim is talking about the Kalayim that is old, that grows early, so that's early growths. The kan ba'afil, and Chol HaMoed is talking about the later growths. So this is around the time when things grow. They made the estimation of when's the best time. For the early growths, we'll do it on the 15th of Adar, and for the later growths, we'll do it on Chol HaMoed. The Chad Amar once said, kan, the Mishnah Shkolim was talking about the 15th of Adar, is bizroim. It's things that I guess are rooted, like wheat, right? So you can recognize the climb already by the 15th. The Khan and the Mishnah in here, talking about Yidu and Chol HaMoed, is Birakos. I guess it's vegetables, which they don't, I guess they're a later, they're again, the same idea. They're a later product, and therefore they're Kilayim, we recognize them by Chol HaMoed, and that's why we do it by Chol HaMoed. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Lo Shanu, we only said that you go out to Kilayim on the 15th of Adar or by Chol HaMoed, Ella She'ein Nitzan Nikar. If you don't reckon, if the sprouts, the growth isn't recognizable yet, in other words, don't wait till then. If you see kilayim beforehand, go and do it. These were times that it was known that there would be kilayim, so they went out. But if you see kilayim earlier, go take care of it. He says about Nitzan Nikar. But if you see its growth is recognizable, Yotzin Aleihem, they would go out immediately at that time to take care of it. So then the Gemara asks, okay, so why is Bedafkon Chol HaMoed? Ma'ishna chacholo shemolu dinafkinan. What's the reason why the chalamod they go out to start? Why don't they just go out, you know, a day after, or just say whenever you recognize it, they should be going out. Why cholamoid? We have a set time, cheap labor, right? Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Biyochanan, Mishum Schar Peula, the Mozil Gavan. There's not no one's allowed to work on cholamoid technically, so this Beis Din has cheap labor available for them. And these are obviously people who have a hector to work because they don't have enough money and they have to eat. Someone who has enough doesn't have that hector. So they find the cheap labor, and then you can do it. And from that, the Gemara is going to prove that we're concerned about cheap labor, that where does the payment for this come from? This payment comes from the public coffers. It doesn't come from the private individuals. Amar Azvid, the Itema Rav Misharsha, Shema Mina, you see from here, the Chiyahivin Lu Schar, when the Beis Din gives the Schar to these workers who are uprooting the Klayim, Mitrumas Halishka Yavinulo. They give it from the public, the Trumas Halishka, they give it from the public treasury. Because if we would force the owners themselves to pay for it, we wouldn't care about the price of labor. We don't care about the private, you know, public, you know, if it's mamon tzibur, that we're more concerned about. We want to save, right? The isak adaitach mididhu yavinu my nafkal minu kol kam of the bolitain. Why do we care how cheap it is? It's not whatever the market would bear. That's what we would force them to pay. But when it comes to, you know, public funds, we don't want to let the market determine, because we have to be careful with public funds. But ad kama, and what is the shear? This is a high question. What is the shear that's considered kilayim that you would have to uproot it? If I have product A and product B, how much of one or the other do I have in order to consider kilayim that we have to go and uproot it? Right? Otherwise, it's a concept of bittul. Is amra shmuel, and I don't know how you measure this. I guess the people who work in the fields know. Amra shmuel by Yitzhak, ka'os shanina, like we said in the Mishnah kilayim. Kol sa'ah sheyesh ba rova zer min achar yamayit. Any one sa'ah is a rova of kav, which means it's 1 to 24. Right? That's the ratio, 1 to 24. That you have to minimize and take away. You have to take away the smaller amount, uproot it, and then you'll be good to go. The Gemara says, "Vahatanya." Wait a second. I have a brisa that said, "Hiskinu." They made a takana that the shluchei Beis Din, if they would find kilayim in my field, they would punish me, and they would use hefker based in hefker, and mafkirin kol asada kula, and they would just make the field. They would use their power and make the field hefker, and I would lose my field. So what are you telling me, that they go out and they uproot for me? I don't understand. The Brisa says they wouldn't do that. They would just mafkir it, and I would lose the ownership in my field. So Gemara says, look,
here, that it's not the ownership of the field. It's just the produce.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
Okay. But he said right here, the Gemara says mafkirin kol asada kula. Who does he quote for that? Is that Rashi? Chazanish? Okay. So they're mafkir just the produce, not the field. Okay. No kasha. That's not a kasha, because Khan, the Mishnah Kalayim that says that they just, the Mishnah Kalayim that says that we uproot the produce, right? Kodim takana. That's before the takana of Hefker. But Khan, and this Brisa afterwards, is La'akar takana. The Gemara now gives a history. Right? The Tanya, the Brisa says, Barishona, originally, Hayu, the Shluchei Beis Din would go, and Okrin, and they would uproot the Kilayim, and Umashlichin Lifnei Behemton, and then they would take the produce, what they uprooted, and they would throw it in front of the animals of the owner of the field, and the owner got a double prize. A, he got his field taken care of by Kilayim, and B, he got feed for his animals. They got a free uprooting of their kilayim, and two. So what they do? Hiskinu she okrin mashlichin al drachim. They made a takana that they would uproot the product of produce, but they would take it and they would just throw it in the garbage. I guess they wouldn't, or throw it on the road. They wouldn't feed it to the owner's animals. The guy was still happy. I have free labor here. So it turns to laziness. If someone's going to do this for me, I won't pay attention. Why should I pay attention to the climb in my field? The government's going to take care of everything. Government will pay for everything. What if there's a problem? What if there's a problem for that? Get my Obama phone. It's no problem. Remember that one? Yes. So the Gemara said, so then they said, what? All right. Why work? Why work? Get better benefits. So they said, okay, Hiskinu Shayu Mapkirin Kol Sadekula. So they made a takana that when we mapkir the produce on the field, and you can't even get benefit from, not only you're not getting benefit from the stuff that was taken away, even the stuff that was uprooted, your stuff, you cannot have benefit. It all doesn't belong to you anymore. But that's the end result of this reliance on the government. Okay.
See, they learned a lesson.
So political. Okay. The Mishnah, the original Mishnah on Daf Beis said that we were allowed to water on Chol Hamoed, allowed to water a Beis HaShlachin. Right, the Beis HaShlachin was the field that doesn't have its natural, it's an irrigated field. If you don't water it, it'll be a hefsed merubah, it'll be a large loss, and that you're allowed to prevent on Chol Hamoed so long as it's not too much tircha, which was sort of undefined, so much not too much tircha. But a Sada Beis HaBaal, which is a field that gets its own natural water, gets through it, that you don't have to water itself, you're not allowed to water it, because any extra watering that you do is not to prevent loss, it's for profit. It's lashbicha, and that you're not allowed to do. You have the davar avod you're allowed, but not for profit. So the Gemara also, the Gemara there said that according to Rav Meir, he doesn't make the distinction. He said you can even water a sada beis habal because he says you're allowed to benefit from the work on Chol Hamoed as well. So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, next case, moshchin es hamayin me'ilan le'ilan ubilvad shlo yashke es kol asada. Let's say you have a sada beis habal which has which has a problem because you're not supposed to water it there, according to Tanna Kamma, because it has water. But it has trees in there. So in Cholam, the trees need a lot more water. So that you let it take water from one tree to the other tree, I guess a tree of water, I guess, gathered by one tree, you let it take water from one, to draw the water from one tree to the other tree, so long as you don't draw the water to the rest of the field, because the rest of the field doesn't need the water, because it's a Beis HaBaal. But then the Mishnah said also, I guess this is continuing from Elazar ben Yaakov, Zroim shelo shasu lifnei amoed lo yashkin b'moed. If you didn't really water the seeds before Chol Hamoed, which means you don't need to water them before Chol Hamoed, you can't water them on Chol Hamoed either, because these are obviously seeds that don't need to be watered at this time, because otherwise you would have watered them beforehand, similar to the shaving issue, which we'll get to soon, right? These are things that you don't, so you can't water them, right? Rashi says, Zroim shelo shasu lifnei amoed. They're not taught, they're not used to getting watered before the moed. Since you don't regularly water them beforehand, apparently they won't be lost if you don't feed them, if you don't water them the next couple of days. What happens if 120 degree Khamsin, that I don't know. But that is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. The Chachamim, what we're going to say is Rabbi Meir, Chachamim argued matir b'zeh b'zeh. They said, no, I can water the entire Beis HaBaal, that's Rabbi Meir, right? And then I can also water these seeds on Chol Hamoed, because he doesn't have this issue of for preventing hefsed only and not for harvacha. He allows you even for harvacha. So then the Mishnah, okay, so we had Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who said that you can't water the entire field, you can only draw the water from one tree to the other tree. So the Gemara then says, Amar of Yehuda, im haisa sode mitunenes mutter. I guess if sode mitunenes, it sounds like something filled with mud, right? Very muddy, what is it called?
Naturally moist.
Naturally moist. And then it dries out?
Yeah.
I guess the svara here is that we don't want you to do something that you didn't normally do. But here you had a reason for not normally doing it.
Because it was normally moist. And now it dried out.
Right. Okay, we're going to let you do it even though beforehand you didn't.
Right. Let's see Rashi. I think that's right. Amar of Yehud. Amar of Yehud. The Hada Amar of Elazar. Aval lo yashka sasada kula. Aval ima is sasada mitunenes lacha viyavsha. And then it dried out. Mutilashkosa. So it was always moist. It dried up or something like that, or now it dried up. So now you can feed it because now that it's used to getting the water. If it doesn't get the water, it's going to be a big loss. And Tanya Amihachi, a Bryce that supports this as well. Kishamru, when the Chachamim said about the Zrayim, so Astor Lashkosa B'Moed, they now had a water the Zrayim on Moed, Chol Hamoed. Lo Amru Elab Zrayim Shlosasu. That's only Zrayim that haven't. haven't started to regularly be watered. Lifnei Amoed. Avos Zroim Sheshasu Lifnei Amoed. Sorry. But Zroim that were regularly watered before Chol Hamoed, now I guess they're used to it, right? So they need to get it. Mutter Lashkosan Memoed. And Im Haisa Sad the Mitunenis, which we just said, then Mutter, that could also be, even if it's a Beis HaBaal, that can also be watered, because once it got used to being watered, and it dries out, it needs the water, otherwise it becomes weak now, and it's going to be lost. The Ein Mashkin Sadeh Garid. Sadeh Garid, Rashi says, is a field that's always dry. Right? I guess it's always dry. You're trying to prepare it, I guess. Rashi says, where is it? I don't have the Rashi. It's in the Medik Ksav Yad. Yeah. There are two Rashis. There's a Rashi here and there's a Rashi Ksav Yad. I think the Rashi on the page is known to not be Rashi. There's a Rashi Ksav Yad in the newer printings of the Gemaras in the Oz V'Hadar he has on the side. I think the article is Oz V'Hadar. There's a Rashi Ksav Yad. Yeah. So the Greeks are here, Rashi and the Ksav Yad said, Yavish, it's dry, Ubesa Balhu, Ela Shalom Naplu Gisham Zez Mamaruba. There was a drought. We have this dry land. He says you're not allowed to water that on Moed because there's no purpose for it, I guess.
It's used to being dry.
It's used to being dry.
Without water.
Right. But Chachamim Matir Zebazeb. The Chachamim say it's mutter in both, meaning they can matir the tzadagarid and they're matir the zrayim that weren't necessarily watered before Chol HaMoed. Again, the Chachamim are most likely Rabbi Meir, who don't have this issue of only preventing hefsay. They allow harvacha as well. Okay, the Gemara then says, Amar Ravina. Ravina says, Shmamina. We see from here, from the halacha of Chachamim, Hay Tarbitza. Tarbitza seems to be some vegetable garden, right? Even though it won't be damaged if it doesn't get watered. Hay Tarbitza, Shari Litarbutze B'Chol HaMoada. You're allowed to sprinkle water over it on Chol HaMoed. Why? For going this from the Sadeh Agreed. The Sadeh Agreed, my time, what's the reason why the Chachamim allowed you to water the dry Sadeh Agreed? The Afla Mashle Charpa. Because, I guess, by watering it, you'll get the late blooming produce to grow a little faster. So to here, Hachanami, Afla Mashle Charpa. The sprinkling it will let it grow faster. So he's not concerned about only preventing Hefseid. He's allowing for Harvacha. So if it's going to get to the reason why you're allowed to do the dry field, because there'll be some benefit for the field, so you water it. So to here, there'll be some benefit for the garden, even though it will grow without it. You're not going to lose anything. So according to Tanakhama, you can't do that because it's not Dabar Hefsed. He doesn't care. He allows you, even if it's not going to be Dabar Hefsed. The issue that they have over here is, why is Ravina focusing on the sheet of the Chachamim? Tosfos, what I was trying to point out, it makes it sound like we're paskening like the Chachamim, which is Rav Meir. But who's the person who argues on Rav Meir? That is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, right? And we know that Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't say much, right? But we know the Mishnah of Elazar ben Yaakov is Kavinaki, is always clean. And therefore, the Psak Halacha should be like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So I'll be showing you how to deal with that, why Ravina is focusing on... So, One of the Rabbeinu Chananel, he says that Ravina's question is sort of like rhetorical. Really? If we're gonna do this, we're gonna be allowed to sprinkle the garden? We know we can't sprinkle the garden because we hold like Rav Meir, and they have to come up to answers to how to figure out why they're focusing on Rav Meir or the Chachamim as opposed to Lezer ben Yaakov. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Look at the Braisa. Marbitzin. Again, I think marbitzin. I think as you translate, I think it means sprinkling.
Sprinkling.
Okay, marbitzin sadeh lavan, which is sadeh lavan is like a wheat field, which is an irrigate, which always has water, right? B'shvius and on shemitah, you can do that. Aval lo b'moed, right? Remember, we had things on Shabbos and stuff about watering. Is watering really an issue on shemitah? What would be the problem? Okay, so he says you do it on shemitah. Aval lo b'moed. The Gemara says, wait a second. Atanya, we have another bright that says. Marbitzin bein b'moed bein b'shvius. Not only can you do it on shvius, you can also water it on Chol HaMoed. So which is it? Can you or can't you do it on Chol HaMoed? So Amar Ravuna, Ravuna says, Lokasha, it's not Akasha. Ha, the Braisa that said that you're not allowed to do the sprinkling of the water on Chol HaMoed, that goes according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who says that you're not allowed to water a Sada Baal on Chol HaMoed because, as like we said in the Braisa, because it's going to be, it's not the Hefseid. Not a hefsed, you can't do it. You can't do it for harvacha only. But and the Braisa says that you're allowed to. That's Rabbanan. That's the Shita of Rabbanan. That's the Shita of who argue on Elazar ben Yaakov. And they're not concerned with this only hefsed issue. They allow you even if it's not going to be a hefsed. Even if not doing it wouldn't lead to a hefsed. Tani Idach, another Braisa. It says, Marbitzin Sedeh Lavan Erev Shvius. You're allowed to water the wheat field on the, before Shemitah. Kedesha Yotsu Yerakos B'Shvius. Even though you doing it in order to have the produce come out on Shemitah. If you order it before Shemitah, it's okay. You can also water on Shemitah for product that's to come after Shemitah. I guess the only problem would be watering on Shemitah for product to grow on Shemitah. That seems to be the only issue. Okay, next Mishnah. The Mishnah is now talking about other malachos that are mutter on the Chol Hamoed and Shemitah. And now the Gemara says, Sadin es ha'ishus ve'es ha'achbarin mistei ilan mistei lavan kedarko b'moed u'b'shvias. You can hunt and trap. The issues are the moles or weasels, some sort of, I think it's a mole based on the Gemara, right? And the mice, the field mice, from the orchards, from the wheat fields, you can do regularly trap them on Chol Hamoed and on Shvius. Because even though you're being mataki in the field, Rashi says, Kedarko she'ein sarich la'ishnos b'tzeda. And even on Shvius, because even afagav the mataki in asada, this is even though this is like fixing the field, this is do beneficial for the field, still permitted on Shemitah. But Chachamim Omrim, Chachamim say no. Misdeya Elon from the trees, then you could trap them kedarko because they must cause a large loss. Right, Rashi says tzad kedarko b'pnei hefsen merubahu. So we want to prevent the big hefsen. But misdeya lavan, which they don't cause such a big loss, shelo kedarko. You can't do it but kedarko. You have to do some sort of shinoi. Rashi says b'sad lavan kedarko einu yachal litzok kedarko b'sad lavan. We should lo mafsid kuli ay b'sad lavan. A little bit of a hefsen. So you do a shinoi. I don't know how you do a shinoi. You trap it with your left hand. Right. It seems to say, okay, because this is an improvement of the field. It's still somehow improving the field.
So it's marasayim?
No, it's a problem of improving the field on Shemitah. Well, you're working the field to improve the field.
So why does
I don't know. Really it's probably,
we have a concept.
Because it's probably the Rabbanon. It's probably time of the Avos Malachos on Shemitah. So, hey, I would think. So this is another din that by building up, I guess there's a break in the wall that right, and you could fix the break in the wall b'moed, right, on Chol Hamoed u'b'shvius bone kedarko. So and on Shemitah you're allowed to build it like originally. You can just build the wall because on Shemitah you could just say you think that maybe you're fixing the field. This has nothing to do with the field, I guess. Right, Rashi says. Even though it looks like you're putting up some sort of protection for the produce, you're still allowed to do that on Shemitah. So now the Gemara asks, "My Ishus, what was this animal? This Ishus?" So Amar of Yehuda Beria, it's this creature she'ein lo einayim. It doesn't really have good sight. Some sort of nocturnal animal that goes out at night. What? A mole? I think it's a mole. Yeah, that's how he translates it. Yeah. Right, so Amar Rabba Bar Yishmal, Rabba Bar Yishmal says, V'i Tema Rav Yemer Bar Shlamiya Mikra. What is a pasuk that indicates that this is something that doesn't have eyes? The Ksiv, the pasuk says, Kemo Shabalul Tamas Yahaloch Nefel Eshes Bal Chazu Shemesh. So Eshes, as we just said, is the Ishus, and it says Bal Chazu Shemesh, the one who doesn't see the sun. I think it's what we're talking about, a woman. But he says, Eshes Bal Chazu Shemesh. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Learned in the Brisa, Sadin es ha'ishus v'sachbarim mistei halavan mistei ilan kedarko. Okay, umachrivin chorei nemalin. You can destroy the ant holes, like all the ant farms, the ant colonies on Chol Hamoed as well. I guess because they cause damage. So Ketzad, we're going to do some practical gardening advice. How do you destroy these ant holes? Ketzad machrivin. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer mevi afar mechor zeh. You take the dirt from ant hole A and you pour it into ant hole B, and they're not used to the dirt and they all choke on it. It seems to be right. Rashi says,
"Yep,
I guess they fight and kill each other. Right? You disorient them, and that leads to the fighting. Amar Rav Yemer Bar Shlamiya Mishmei Dabaye Vehu. And the only way this works is Gitkai betray Ibrid Nara, which is like Nifne Ivra Lashon, but it's if the dirt is from two different sides of the river. Because if they're the same side of the river, they'll recognize the dirt. Right? Who the Kai betray Ibrid Nara? Well, who the Lekha Gishra? And also must be that there's no bridge that goes over the river, because then they will travel back and forth and they will recognize the dirt. But who the Lekha Gamla? There also can't be this sort of a Gamla, it's a plank. But who the leket mitzra? There can't be rope. I think it's a sort of rope that they can travel across. There's no access from one side of the river to the other side of the river. Therefore, the ants have no idea. And all right, and ad kama means how far away do they have to be? So there's a way, two different ways of saying this. You could say, okay, you have option A is that they're the other side of the river, or option B, they can be a distance of ad kama of parsa, even if they're not other side of the river, but there are parsas away. That also works. Or you have to say that the distance from the river also has to be, the other side also has to be a parsa away. So long as the ants don't recognize the dirt, then that will work. That's practical advice on how to destroy the ants in your backyard. Right, we'll stop here.